الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. There are two names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which are closely related to each other. First is Al-Wahid and the second one is Al-Ahad. Both have a similar meaning, but there is a slight difference. Al-Wahid means that being who is one, who is one, who has always been one, and who has no partner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Wahid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, has always been one, and He has no partners, no shariq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one in terms of His kamalat, in terms of His perfections, in terms of His names, in terms of His attributes, in terms of His sifat. There's no one who is a shariq or a partner in the kamalat and the perfections of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no one who is a shariq and a partner in the sifat, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has those sifat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the epitome of all kamalat, of all perfections, of all attributes, of all sifat. And Allah says in Quran, uses this word, wa ilahukum ilahum wahid, that your ilah, the being whom you worship, is ilahun wahid, is one Allah, is one being, one ma'bud. La ilaha illa huwa rahmanur rahim. There is no being worthy of worship except for Him who is ar-Rahman and who is ar-Rahim. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, innama Allahu ilahun wahid. That He is Allah, is your ilah, and He is wahid, He is one. Closely related is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's second name, which is Al-Ahad. And Ahad, normally in English we translate as both of them as the one. But Ahad has a deeper meaning. It means that being who has no compartments, doesn't have any ingredients, doesn't have any partitions, doesn't have any components, and that being who doesn't even have any similarity. There's no being who's similar to Him. Yani, there is a notion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure. Allah is pure from all of this tarkib, ingredients, tajziya, ta'addud, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also free and pure from any type of mushabihat, any type of similarity. And in a very famous surah, we recite Surah Ikhlas. Qul huwa Allahu ahad, that O my beloved Messenger, say to the people, huwa Allahu ahad, that He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is one. There's no one like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu samad, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is independent. Allah does not need anyone. Lam yalid wa lam yulad, and he doesn't give any birth, doesn't give birth to anything, nor has someone given birth to him. So the Jews, they used to say that Hazrat Aziz alayhi salam is the son of Allah, or the Christians used to say that Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam is the son of Allah, or the Mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarrama, they had made the angels as the daughters of Allah. All of this is batil and false. Allah says, Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Once there was a Sahabi who was reciting At-Tahiyyat, and when saying Ashhadu an la ilaha, he raised two of his fingers instead of one. So the Prophet quickly rectified him and said, Ahid, Ahid. That's one finger, one finger. When you're pointing towards one being, so you should also raise your one finger. Why? Because Hu Allahu Ahad. And this is Ajib, the word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used, Ahad. The word itself is also giving us the message of Tawheed, of oneness. Because this word Ahad has come in the Quran only once. There's no repetition. And the word has also been used once. And this word also, for those who know Arabic, this comes as a Nakira. Nakara means indefinite noun, which again shows the Jalala, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we don't need to have Alif Lam before this and make this Mu'arrif. We don't need to do any tarif of it. There's no need for further clarification, for further elucidation, for further tarif or definition. No need for Alif Lam. Just have the simple Ahad. There's no Huruf Zayda that is required. Because Ahadiyat, in this oneness of Allah, this Tawheed of Allah, this has all the Kamalat that are embedded inside of this one being. We don't need to further specify it. There's no specification. There's no restriction, no specification, no particularization. Nothing is required. Al-Ahad refers to that being who's one, who's simple, pure. There's no further subdivisions. Al-Ahad. Allahu Samad, Lam Yalid Walam Yulad, and then Walam Yakullahu Kufuwan Ahad. That he has no partner, that he has no one who is equal to him, no companion, no friend, he's all alone. He's one and only, and he's all alone. And that's why it comes that a person who recites Surah Ikhlas, Qul Huwa Allahu Ahad. So this is the summary of the message of the Quran. If you can recite this three times, it's like a person completes the full Quran. Because a person is negating shirk in this surah. Now when we say Tawheed, one baby meaning of Tawheed all of us understand, which is that we believe in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that's only the first level. And our ulama and mashayikh, they have opened up the meaning and the ma'arif of Tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person realizes there is a lot of depth in this one name of Allah ta'ala, if only we can realize the importance and we can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as that being who deserves to be worshipped alone, then a person can become the beloved of Allah. And this name has so much ta'seer that if a person has Kamil Tawheed in their heart and they can remove every last trace of shirk, then a person can become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wali and the friend of Allah. So what is Tawheed, Kamil Tawheed, and then what is shirk? Kamil Tawheed, complete Tawheed, is that a person worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala one in his worship. That Allah, I only worship you. Yani there's a student who came to a teacher and the sheikh asked him, what's the meaning of Tawheed? And the student said that Allah is the only being worthy of being worshipped. So the sheikh said, no. You should say Tawheed means that you only worship Allah. There's a very fine distinction here. We say that Allah is the only being worthy of being worshipped. Tawheed is that no, you only worship Allah. We'll understand this from an example, a story. There was a sheikh by the name of Hazrat Hassan Basri Rahmatullah Al-Tabi. who was sent to Basra at the time of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, made the Imam of the Jami Masjid in Basra. And he used to say that I learned Tawheed from a woman. A woman taught me Tawheed. And he said that a woman came and said that, oh Sheikh, write me a ruling that my husband cannot marry a second time. And the Sheikh said that I cannot do so because the Sharia gives the permission. So she said that I cannot disclose my beauty to you, or once had you seen my beauty, you would have said the husband with a wife that is so pretty should not be allowed to marry twice. And then the Sheikh thought that that woman said this to me and she went away. But I was thinking about what she said, that this is a woman who had been given a drop out of the ocean of the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she does not like her husband's love to be shared. So imagine this is the same with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah does not want that people should share the love for Allah with ghairullah. Allah wants us to have only love for Him, one and only. Allah has given us one heart, and this heart can have the love for only one being, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is what Tawheed is, that we take out all the occupants from our heart. Just like when you go to a motel or a hotel, they say full occupancy, zero vacancy. Similarly, Tawheed is that a person has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart, full occupancy, zero vacancy for anyone else. When the Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina Munawwara, the first khutbah he gave was that, O people, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bi kulli qulubikum, with the full extent of your heart. And if we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala udhura, incomplete. We love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala partly, partially, and we also use our heart for other loves. So the Prophet ﷺ saying, no, love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the fullness of your heart, with the full extent of your heart. This heart has been made and has been reserved for the love for Allah. This heart has been made and has been reserved for the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Tawheed is, that a person makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter into their heart. And there is only Allah inside their heart and the love for Allah. All the unlawful loves are wiped out. The heart is purified from unlawful loves, shaitani, hewani, nafsani loves. And we just have the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inside. And those other loves which are permissible in the Sharia, that also has a boundary. And the boundary is that they should be below the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are two principles here. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love should be in our heart. And any permissible love that we have, that should be in the name of Allah for the sake of Allah and should be below Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. So a person empties their heart of unlawful loves, of impermissible loves, haram loves, and even the permissible loves, they are subordinated. They should be secondary, they should be less than the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that about these permissible loves, unki bhi hudood hai, there is a had, there is a boundary for these permissible loves. For example, love between parents and children, husband, wife, brother and brother, siblings. So this permissible loves that we have, the hudood, the boundary is, Allah says that, Kul, O my beloved Messenger, say to the people, In kana aba'ukum wa abana'ukum wa ikhwanukum wa azwajukum wa ashiratukum wa amwalu niqtaraftumuha wa tijaratun takshawna kasadaha wa masakinu tardawnaha. Any the love that you have for your fathers, your brothers, your sons, your spouse, your relatives, the wealth that you have, and the tijarat, the business and trade that you do, and the houses and dwellings where you live in. These are all loves that normally people have. Allah counts them, enumerates them one by one. If all of these loves that you have, if ahabba ilaykum minallahi wa rasuli, if they're more beloved to you than the love for Allah and His Messenger, wa jihadin fi sabilihi, then fatarabbasu, then you should wait. Hatta ya'ti Allahu bi amrihi, until the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. What does this mean? that these are permissible loves, but they should be less than Allah's love. Make Allah's love the most dominating love of our heart. It should be the primary love, the dominating love in our heart. And if these other permissible loves, if they can become an obstacle, then we should step over them, because our goal is beyond that. Our goal is love for Allah. Sometimes a person loves with multiple qiblas. Heart has multiple loves. So Allah says in Quran that no, we have given you this one heart. We haven't given insan two heart, that you can use one heart to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the other heart to do shirk and love someone else, false love or fake loves. We have given you this one heart so that you fill this one heart with the full muhabba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You assign your heart to Allah, to love your heart with the full entirety of your heart. Bi kulli qulubikum. This was the first message that the Prophet ﷺ gave to the people in Medina Munawwara. That empty your heart of unlawful loves and fill this heart with Allah's muhabba. And all the other permissible loves should be subservient and less than the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is tawheed. Another sheikh was asked the meaning of tawheed. And he said that a dhoban, my neighbor, she taught me what tawheed is. And he asked that what happened. He said that my neighbor, husband, wife, they were having a fight and I was reading Quran and I could hear what they were saying to each other. And I heard that they were saying, and the wife, she was saying to her husband that for your sake, I've been in so much difficulty and I have little food to eat, but I'm happy, I'm pleased. I have little drink to drink, but I'm also pleased. I have a very simple lifestyle, but I'm still pleased with all of this. I'm willing to bear all of this difficulty, this hardship, this simplicity, this lack of resources. Every sadness, every grief, every hardship that we have, I'm willing to be in this together for your sake. I'm willing to be in this together for your sake. However, if you wish that you want to have another nikah with someone else other than me, then I cannot live with you. And he says that I was listening to this conversation and then I opened my Quran, my gaze fell on the Quran, and this verse of Quran came before my eyes, where Allah Ta'ala says, Inna Allaha la yaghfiru an yushraku bihi wa yaghfiru ma duna zalik liman yasha. Allah says that, oh my servant, whatever sins you do, I can forgive all of those sins for you. But if you make a partner in my muhabbat, in my love, then this is that sin which I will not forgive. I will not forgive shirk. This is the ghairat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like a wife, she has ghairah. She does not want her love to be shared with any other person. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more ghuyur. The Prophet said, Ana aghyaru, that out of all the people, I am the most ghuyur. Among human beings, humanity, I have the most ghairah. Ghaira. And then Allahu aghyaru minni, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more ghaira than me. And Allah's ghaira does not permit that a person should associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in muhabbat of Allah. This muhabbat, this heart is only reserved for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And love that are in the name of Allah and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, there are four words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used in the Quran that help us understand what Tawheed is. The first word that Allah ta'ala uses in Quran is Raghbat. What is Raghbat? Raghbat is that when a person begins to love someone, so the first relationship that they have is that your person's tabiyah or temperament becomes inclined towards that other being. This inclination of your tabiyah, of your temperament, is known as raghbat. And Allah Ta'ala uses, Allah Ta'ala says in Quran that this raghba, inna ilallahi raghibun. That verily they are people who are raghib towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're inclined towards Allah. Raghbat means to be inclined towards something. You have this word in Urdu also, to have raghbat towards something, to have an inclination, an interaction towards something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used this word for himself, that we should have raghbat towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْسَبْ وَإِلَى رَبِّكَ فَرْغَبْ. That towards your Rabb you should then devote yourself with the raghba, with attraction, with inclination. Then when this feeling becomes strong, this attraction becomes strong, you reach the second level, which is known as talab. Talab is that you have now a desire for something. The inclination, attraction towards something increases. Now you want to desire. You want to seek it out. You want to make it the object of your desire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this also in the Quran. When Allah is referring to the false loves in the Quran al-Kareem, talking about the people who do shirk, who are not people of Tawheed, who people who are doing shirk, Allah mentions about their false and fake loves that ذَعُفَ الطَّالِبُ وَالْمَطْلُوبُ, that weak is the talib and weak are the matlub. And weak is that person who is seeking out a false god, and weak is that false idol that they're seeking out. This means that our hakiki, our true matlub, should be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our marghub should be Allah. The object of our raghbat and attraction and inclination should be no one other than Allah. That's the first step of tawheed. Second level is that the object of our desire should also be only Allah. Allah and for the sake of Allah. So we have no other object of desire other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is our hakiki matlub, the object of our talab. So the hakiki talib, the seeker, is they should be the seekers of Allah. The real desire is to have a desire for Allah. The real talab is that we should have a talab and a desire for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when this desire strengthens, a person reaches the third level, which is this word muhabbat or muhabba. And in an incredible verse of the Quran, Allah mentions yuhibbuhum wa yuhibbunahu. Yuhibbuhum, that Allah loves them. Wa yuhibbunahu, and they have love for Allah, they have muhabba for Allah. This is a two-way muhabba. This ayat is teaching us that if you become the muhib, the lover, you will become the beloved, the mahbub. If you become the beloved, the mahbub, you will become the muhib, the lover. Allah bestows this maqam upon you. This is muhabbat. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ, that those who have true iman are extremely intense in their muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when this muhabbat increases, and this muhabbat becomes firm and pukhta, then you reach the fourth and the final level of muhabba, which is the ultimate level of muhabba, which is like the miraj of muhabbat. This miraj of muhabba. There were young men, they would ask this question, that what is the ultimate step, ultimate level of muhabba? And people were giving their own answers. Someone said that you give some gift to your beloved. Someone said that you sacrifice all that you have for the sake of your beloved. So they were giving answers like young men. So then the teacher was silent. So they asked the teacher, the old teacher, can you tell us what the meaning, what the ultimate level of muhabbat is? So he said that when a person reaches the miraj of their muhabbah, then the person's, the lover's kafiyat becomes such that he has so much love that he puts himself at the feet of his beloved. This is the miraj of muhabbat. In other words, the miraj of muhabbat is that you do ibadah, you make that being, you worship him. And this is something which is reserved only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is that you make your beloved your object of worship. And this is the word that you make your Allah your ilah. The fourth and final level of muhabbah is to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our ilah, our object of worship. So when we say tawheed, la ilaha illallah, wa ilahukum ilahum wahid, that I have no object of worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah. That your Lord, your God, your one God is Allah. Your being who's worthy of my worship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is my ilah. And this is the miraj of muhabbat. So subhanallah, the kalma that we recite, la ilaha illallah, isme we are making a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, ya Allah, the muhabbat that I have for you
is the ultimate level of muhabbat, the highest level of muhabbat, the miraj of my muhabbat, that in my heart I have no one, no love other than you. So when we are supposed to have raghbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah does not like that we have raghbat for anyone else. Then imagine that how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would dislike if we make someone our object of worship. That's why Allah says that He can forgive every sin. La yaghfiru an yushraka bihi, except for shirk. Wa yaghfiru ma duna dhalik, everything else can be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this kalma is a very strong kalma that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. This is a kalma or kalma which testifies in which we are making a promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah, our ultimate level of muhabbat is only and only reserved for you. La ilaha illallah. So four words, raghbat, talab, muhabbat, and ilah. And hence sometimes there is a zikr that a person can do. La marghubi illallah. That there is no object of my raghbat, my inclination, attraction, except Allah. La matlubi illallah. That there is nothing I have talab for, desired for, except for Allah. La mahbubi illallah. There is no being I have love and muhabba for, except Allah. La ilaha illallah. There is no being who I accept as being worthy of my worship, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because these four things are mentioned in the Quran, that's why a person can say this. And as you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept shirk. So Tawheed is this four things. And now the opposite of Tawheed is shirk. And shirk is, one is there are two categories of shirk. Shirk again, baby meaning is that you associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but that's too simple. There's a deeper meaning which Allah mentions in the Quran. أَفَرَعِيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَى. That haven't you seen, don't you gaze in astonishment and amazement at those people, at that individual, who has taken their ilah, who has taken their hawa, their caprice, their desires, their fancies, their whims, their passion, as their ilah, as their God, as their being that are worthy of worship. So instead of worshipping Allah, they're worshipping their nafs. They're worshipping their own desires. So what does this mean? Sometimes this means a person can have a rivalry with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We create rivals in our heart. Sometimes we ourselves become the rival. Allah desires that I should wake up at 6 a.m. in the morning, but I desire that I should wake up at 10 a.m. in the morning. My nafs becomes the rival. Allah wants that I should earn a pure halal risk livelihood, but I want that I should go and get this loan, interest-bearing loan from the bank. So our desires, they become a rival. We set up our rivals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are lesser shirk. These are known as shirk khafi. One is shirk jali. Shirk jali is that a person worships an idol, like a stone, statue, cardboard, things that people do. And shirk khafi is that we have these hidden rivalry in our heart, these hidden idols inside of our heart. There's no idol outwardly. There's inwardly, we have set up rivals with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These things are hidden shirk. And these are also something which prevent us from having true tawheed. So worship Allah as if there is one Allah means that a person has to break the idols from outside, and they also have to break the idols that are within. These hidden shirk and hidden idols, these lesser idols also need to be broken. So for example, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept shirk at the ultimate level, which is number four, La ilaha illallah, to take someone, other being as your ilah. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept that a person should do shirk at these lower levels to make something else our beloved hakiki, our mahbub-e hakiki, or to make something else our matlub-e hakiki, our object of desire, or to make something else our marghub-e hakiki, something to which we are attracted and inclined. These are also types of shirk. So step one, when Allah says that inna ilallahi raghibun, raghba, that verily indeed the raghbat is towards Allah. So we should check ourselves. that if we truly want to have true, complete, kamil tawheed, then this is our, we start with the first level. Raghbat. Our raghbat in this day and age, we should check. And when we check, we will say that our raghbat is not completely towards Allah. We have raghbat also towards ghairullah. We are attracted towards and inclined towards ghairullah. Whether it's the human ghairullah, or it's the dunya ghairullah, or it's something else altogether. We are stuck at number one, step number one. Again, raghbat that is permissible. So we should have raghbat for Allah and raghbat for anyone which is in the name of Allah and for the sake of Allah. That's part and parcel of loving Allah. That's part and parcel of having raghbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then when a person has impermissible, the ghairullah or the dunya, which becomes a distraction from Allah, that becomes an obstacle. And that's where sometimes people are stuck at the step number one. Then number two, talab, desire. And again, we are desiring out so many things. One is tawheed, is that I desire Allah and only for the sake of Allah. Then shirk, the problem would be that a person says, I desire Allah, but also I have these other desires in my heart, which are unlawful desires. I desire that thing. I desire the fashion, culture, media, society, things that are violating the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That would be a problem. Then third level, that I have muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. I have muhabbat for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and muhabbat for Allah and in the name of Allah for the sake of Allah, those permissible loves, which are also part and parcel of love, part and parcel of loving Allah. But then if a person says, I have love for Allah, I have love for Allah, but I also have love for that person, unlawful love, impermissible love, or a permissible love, but a person does something against the violation of Allah, I'll cheat for the sake of supporting my family. So that would be a problem. So this is a stage by stage thing. And we have to work on ourselves to come to have this true tawheed in our heart. Very easy way to understand this is we use these two words in English, and you will understand all the deep ma'arif and meaning of tawheed if I say these two words. Only and also. In a relationship, let's say husband-wife, the husband, if he says to his wife that I love you only, that's tawheed. But if he says I love you also, that's going to be a problem. No wife is going to accept that statement. In the same way, Allah, I love you only, that's tawheed. And only means the loving Allah and then the name for Allah. But I love also those other loves, false love, fake love, unlawful loves, that's going to be shirk-e khafi. Similarly, I have raghbat for Allah only. And then I have raghbat for other cultures, other lifestyles also. I have desire for Allah only. But then I have desires that are also peer pressure and dorm culture and substance abuse and those kinds of things. So it's a stage by stage thing. But Allah says that we make Allah our ilah. Afara'aita man ittakhadha ilahahu hawa. That don't you gaze in astonishment at those people who have taken their desires as their ilah. Allah wants us to work on ourselves so that we can break these desires. We can break these idols that are inside of us. So these are lesser and hidden, but they're also equally important in order for us to complete and perfect our tawheed. That if when we have raghbat for something more than we have raghbat for Allah, that's the problem. When you have talab and desire for something more than we have talab and desire for Allah, that's the problem, right? That only and also will help us understand this. This is what it means to have shirk. That I have raghbat for you, Ya Allah, but I also have raghbat for the dunya also. When you have the also, anytime the also comes in, then means that a person is now moving away from tawheed. That is shirk, that you're ascribing, you're associating, you're allowing something to be shariq with Allah, to be partner with Allah. That I have raghbat for you with a capital Y, you, Ya Allah. But I also have raghbat for fame or status or maqam or wealth also. Allah is that being who does not accept roommates. And university students will understand this, right? Full occupancy, Allah does not accept roommates. That Ya Allah, talab, I have talab for you. Allah does not want to listen to talab for also. Right? And likewise, muhabba and ila. So ila, all of us, we understand. Just like we say for number four, that Ya Allah, I worship you. We will never say, I worship you, but I worship something else also. That's inconceivable. You will say, Ya Allah, I worship you, and I worship you only, and I worship you alone. That's it. And I will venerate and respect those things which have nisbat with you. Baytullah, Kitabullah, Rasulullah. So just like that, in the same way, just like number four is grounded in Tawheed, in the same way, one, two, and three, Raghbat, Talab, and Muhabbat should also be firmly grounded in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if a person doesn't have that, then this ayat of the Quran, Allah says, that reflect on this example of a person who has made his desires his God. All the other three things would be there in this ayah. That person has raghbat, he's attracted to whatever he desires, he has talab, he has muhabbat for whatever he desires. He is now worshipping his own nafs. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if there is anything which has been worshipped the most, that's a person's nafs. Just like we can do ibadat and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can also do ibadat of our nafs. And in the entire universe, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the nafs. No idol has been worshipped more than the idol of our nafs. This nafs is the creature of desire. And it puts these desires inside of us. Unlawful desires, impermissible desires. This is the biggest ma'bud after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what this ayat is telling us. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. They become a slave. They become a servant of their nafs. You say this in English also. I'm a slave of my own desires. What does that slavery mean? That means that the desires have become our ilah. They have become our God. We worship them. So alhamdulillah, we don't have the big shirk. But we have to check inside of ourselves. And see that if we have these idols inside of our heart. These shirk-e khafi. This inner shirk. So we have to break the outer idols, but we also have to break the inner idols, the pictures that we have inside of our heart, the pictures of people that we have inside of our heart, the idols of people that we have in our heart. Sometimes the idol can be money, wealth, money, power, fame. This becomes an idol. And that person is worshiping these things. Sometimes it's just one person, person X. They can't rid their mind of thoughts of that person. That person's picture and memory and khayalat and emotions and feelings all are inside their heart. That becomes an idol. That idol also has to be smashed. So sometimes it's muhabba for the dunya. Sometimes it's muhabba for some person, some makhluk. Sometimes we are in love with our own self, our nafs. And sometimes shaitan tries to put wasavis inside of our heart and we fall trapped. So we have to break all of these idols that are inside of us. We should remember that when we want to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we want Kamil Tawheed means that a person attaches themselves to Allah one and only and they break all the association's partners. That's why Allah says in Quran also, وَذْكُرْ إِسْمَ رَبِّكْ وَتَبَتَّلْ إِلَيْهِ تَبَتِيلًا. The remember the name of your Rabb exclusively to the exclusion of everything else. Now, the summary of Tawheed is that we have to cut ourselves and make our heart reserved only for Allah. And how does this happen? So we'll understand this from an example. Just like there is a bird and you attach some rope or some thread. Now that bird wants to fly, wants to soar in the air. And it's trying also to fly, but it's not able to. It comes back down. In the same way, a person also wants to fly towards Allah. They want to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there are certain things which hold that person down. There are some idols that are bringing us down, that we are entrapped in those idols, that we are imprisoned by those idols. And unless and until we break those idols, we'll never be able to reach the closeness of Allah, never be able to soar towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those threads are also pulling us back. They're tugging us down. So what are those idols? So our ulama scholars have mentioned there are four big idols that a person has. And these are like the four enemies that a person has. And for those who know Urdu, it's very easy to remember these enemies because the word dushman, dushman which means enemy. Dushman, every letter stands for one idol, for one enemy. Dal is the first. Dal means dunya. So this attachment towards dunya, towards world. What is dunya? Dunya is anything which is other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ghairullah, and which makes a person heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of times this can be a person's studies. A person becomes so preoccupied with their studies that they become oblivious of the salah. They leave their salah, they miss their salah. So the studies can become dunya. Their job can become dunya. Their wealth can become dunya. Anything which is other than Allah, sometimes your own family can become dunya. Allah says in Quran that your wife and your children, your spouse can be a dunya for you. Yani, otherwise a person can, supposed to, they can reach the closeness of Allah, right? With these relationships. If you smile at your wife and she smiles back at you, Allah will smile at you. But how does this become dunya when a person, when they're distracted by Allah? When these relationships, they distract a person from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it becomes dunya. Then it becomes an enemy. Then it becomes like an idol. Then we have to break this idol. We have to step over. We have to move towards Allah, do what Allah wants us to do. That's why the Prophet said that this dunya is very sweet and it's very green, lush. Sometimes a person has long expectations in the dunya. And these expectations keep on increasing. That I make one factory, then I'll make another factory, then third factory. And a person spends their whole life in chasing these desires, in chasing these expectations, and they become ghafil of their akhirah. They become heedless of their death, heedless of any, making any preparations for their akhirah. So dunya is very sweet. It deceives many people. Many intelligent people are deceived and deluded by this. That's why this is our first idol, that a person should not be so completely overly passionately involved in the dunya that they become distracted from Allah, they become distracted from akhirah. Yeah, this is the reason why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the dunya, ever since then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has never looked at this dunya with the gaze of muhabba. Because this dunya makes a person ghafil from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the second idol, the second enemy that is holding us back from Allah is shaitan, which is from the second letter, sheen. And shaitan is also with us. Every person has a shaitan with them. And this is an udu. Allah says he's an enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوا aduwa. And the musibat is that you can't see this shaitan. You can't see your enemy. Young people might think that if I could see a shaitan, I could take out my chappal and slap him a bit, right? But you can't see him. And he doesn't even have khana. He doesn't even need to eat. No zaruriyat, no needs, no necessities, doesn't need to sleep, doesn't need to eat, doesn't need to drink. And he's with us all the time. And he also tries to deceive us. He also tries to delude us. That's another idol which is with us. We have to break shaitan, break the idol of shaitan, break this enemy shaitan. And the example of shaitan is like a dog. Right? If you have a friend who has a dog at their house, and you want to go and meet your friend inside, the dog is standing outside. Now, there are three possibilities. One possibility is that you see the dog and you return back home. You don't even meet your friend. Second possibility is that you start fighting that dog yourself. And there is also a third possibility that you call the friend from inside. Oh, come, and then the friend will come outside and he will do some ishara to that dog and the dog will go away and you can easily enter inside. Exactly in the same way, the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this shaitan is in the way. Shaitan is like the dog standing outside. Now, either you can return back, that I can't defeat shaitan, let me turn back. So in that case, you won't even end up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You won't get the qurb of Allah. So that option is not possible for us. Second option is that we try to fight shaitan on our own. But shaitan, you can't see. How will you fight him? So you can spend your whole life fighting, but shaitan is so clever, he will deceive you. He will delude you. So we can't fight shaitan on our own also. So we're left with the third possibility, which is the only option for us, that we call our friend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Allah, this musibah is here. Allah, you take care of this and let us come towards you. Allah ta'ala jaan chhuda denge. Allah will pull us. So we should remember shaitan, and the way to save ourselves from shaitan is also turning to Allah. Then the third letter is meem, dushman, meem. Meem comes from makhluk. Makhluk means these impermissible, unlawful loves that we have. Sometimes a person has a desire for person X, Y, Z. These are all muhabbatin, these are all unlawful loves which take a person away from Allah. These are impermissible loves, unlawful loves. Sometimes for these loves, a person does things which violate the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person lie. And then there was a person who had such a relationship, and once his father asked him that, are you in a relationship like this? And have you done this sin? And in order to save himself from that punishment, he said to his father that if I have done this sin with that person, then let Allah not give me death on the kalima. And he mentioned this later on to one of his teachers, and he was crying that I said this jumla in front of, I said the sentence into my father. So this unlawful, impermissible loves, they also are an obstacle. They're also an idol. And especially in our day and age that we're living in, many people have this problem. That we open the book, but we are looking at someone's image in our heart. We have these memories of people. We have these photos. We have these images. We have these pixels which are firmly embedded, ingrained inside of our heart. That's also an idol. That idol also needs to be smashed and broken. And finally, the fourth enemy is our nafs, dushman, noon. Nafs is also, sometimes a person falls in love with their own self. When they fall in love with their own self, they're actually falling in love with their nafs. The nafs also doesn't want to obey anyone. Nafs wants that people should obey him. That's the nature of nafs. There is ananiyat in nafs. We want to worship Allah Ta'ala, but the nafs wants, no, that I don't want to obey anyone. I don't want any restrictions. I don't like limitations. I don't like restrictions. You should obey me. And that's why Allah says in Quran, this nafs, nafs-e ammara. This nafs commands a person towards evil. So we have to break this nafs also. One sheikh said that if you want to reach Allah, it's very easy. That you leave your nafs, you step over your nafs, and you'll be able to enter into Jannah. So these are four idols that we have to break. And now the question is that if a person is stuck, if we have these threats that are holding us back, how can we release ourselves? How can we snap? How can we break through? How can we fly towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The answer is that this can only happen when we do ruju ilallah. These threads, these idols are broken by doing ruju ilallah, by turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These idols are broken by making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the remembrance of Allah. This cycle is broken by engaging in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These threads are broken by following the sunnah of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This thread is broken. These idols are broken when a person seeks tawbah to Allah ta'ala. When a person spends some time in the company of the siddiqeen, the salihin, their company has an effect. That's the only way in which this thread, these idols can be broken. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being. We have to do ruju ilallah. Allah is that being who himself can take us, is going to take us out of these idols, out of these false love. False love that are so deeply embedded inside of us that we won't be able to take ourselves out on our own. You can make that effort, but you will not succeed. We can only make that effort through zikr, through tawbah, through ibadah. But ultimately, we have to hand ourselves over to Allah. Allah, you are the one who can take us out. And only Allah is the being who can take us out. Once we make that effort, and then when we turn ourselves towards Allah, do ruju ilallah, make dua to Allah, that Allah, we did whatever we could. But it's not going to depend on our efforts. Allah, we now need your mercy. Allah, your rahmah will take us out from these false laws. And Allah is that only being who can then take us out. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us out from all of these, then we will have complete true kamil tawheed. Then we will have broken all the idols from outside and all idols from inside. So we have to take out all of these things from our heart, all the ghair from our heart. And then Allah will replace it with the nur of His love. I'll just end with the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He had kamal in this tawheed. He had the kamal, the perfection in tawheed. Yani this kalma of tawheed was given to all the anbiya alayhi salam. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salam, his kalma was also la ilaha illallah Nuh Najiullah. The first part was the same. The second part would keep on differing, would keep on changing. Then Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, his kalma was also la ilaha illallah Musa Kalimullah. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam's kalma was la ilaha illallah Isa Ruhullah. And Ibrahim alayhi salam's kalma was also la ilaha illallah Ibrahim Khalilullah. And then in our ummah we have the kalma la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So the first part, it's the same, which is Tawheed. There is no being worthy of worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do nafi. The la ilaha illallah also has two parts. First part is la ilaha. This is nafi. We are negating everything. We are breaking, smashing all the idols. The outwardly, inwardly, everything. And then illallah is the second part. That the only being worthy of worship is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are affirming Allah and negating everything else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what you find in the story of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. That Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he was young, he destroyed all the idols inside the room. The people had gone for some mela or for some event, and Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam stayed back. And there he broke all the idols. And when the people returned, someone saw these all the idols are smashed, and they asked that, who did this? And Allah says in Quran, they said that some person called Ibrahim would have done this. So see, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he smashed all the idols. And someone asked him that, why did you do this? He said that, go ask that the biggest idol. And he put the axe on his shoulder. So Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he broke all the outward, the zahiri idols, the shirki jali. And then Allah says that he was looking and searching for true tawheed, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once he looked at the moon and said that this is my Rabb. But then when the moon disappeared, he said this cannot be my Rabb. Then he saw the sun, he said this is my Rabb. Because he said the sun also disappeared, this cannot be my Rabb. And then after that he said, Qala la uhibbul afilin, that I don't worship these things who wane and disappear. They come and go. They wane and die. And that is, and we should also think the same way. That why do we love those things which wane and die? We should love that being who's Hayyul Qayyum, who's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, in this tawheed, he was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he passed all those tests. Allah says, Wa izabtala Ibrahima Rabbuhu bi kalimatin fa'atammahun. We tested Ibrahim alayhi salam, but he was successful in all of his tests. So number one, the test was that he was told that you should leave your wife and your infant baby in the desert. Now this is also Allah Ta'ala testing, right? Leaving them in a valley, a valley ghayri zi zar'in, where there is no vegetation, nothing. And he came back. This was not easy. Today when we go for itikaf, we leave our wife and children at home and we are thinking, right? Person feels that what will happen, person is concerned about them, even though you might be in the same city, in the masjid in the same city. But still, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, this was the command of Allah, so he left them. And the wife asked that, why are you leaving? He didn't give a reply. But afterwards, she also understood that this is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So she said that, are you leaving us for the hukum of Allah? And he said, na'am, yes. And then she said, Allah will never waste us away. So this was a very big sacrifice that you leave those relationships also for the sake of Allah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked another sacrifice, another nafi, another negation, which was that you will have to burn in my fire. Namrud, he lit up this fire, and this was not a simple fire. This was a fire which was lit for many months, very high, very deep, very long. People wouldn't even be able to go near that fire. And then Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam was put inside this swing and he was thrown inside. And now he's in mid-air. And at that time, one angel comes down and says that I've been sent. And I'm here because I want to do khidmah. I want to save you. And he asked that, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did Allah send you? He said, yes, Allah sent me. But he said that Allah wants you to help. He said, no, I want to help on my own. So he said, no, if Allah, and then Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam asked him, that does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know my hal? Does he know the state in which I'm in? And then angel said that, yes, Allah knows your state. And at that time, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, he replied, Hasbi Allahu ni'ma al-wakil, that Allah is sufficient for me. I don't need your help. Refuse the help of an angel. Refuse the help of an angel, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows my hal, knows my situation, then I'm razi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't need your help. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he let go of all the worldly asbab and means. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also directly commanded that fire and said, Kulna ya narukuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Oh, fire, cool down for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He passed this test also. He did nafi of the dunya also, of all the worldly means. His nazar was kamil on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was also a very big test. But then there was another test which was even bigger. And this was the test when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam to sacrifice his own son. Yani you can bear difficulty on your own self, but to ask that your son should be sacrificed, this was very difficult. And for 3 days he had this same dream. And then he knew that this is a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have to do this. So he took his son and he went out. And he said that I'm taking my son to meet someone very big. Now on that journey, he met Shaitan. Shaitan came in disguise and he tried to again deceive them. First, he tried to deceive Sayyidina Hajar alayhi salam that your husband is taking out your son because he wants to sacrifice him in the name of Allah. But Sayyidina Hajar alayhi salam was a person of Iman. She rejected Shaitan. Then he came to Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, the son. But Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam was also the son of a Nabi. He also rejected. He also threw pebbles on Shaitan. Rejected him. Then Shaitan came to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam also pebbled him and threw him away. Now that's why when a person goes for Hajj, person is supposed to throw pebbles on Shaitan thrice. Rajam. Then finally, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he prepared his son and he asked him that, oh, I saw this dream and I'm doing this because of the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's your mashwara? And Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam replied that if this is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I'm ready to be sacrificed. I'm ready to be sacrificed in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, that was also such an ajeeb manzar that the son is being sacrificed on the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now when everything was ready, the son, he turned towards his father and said that I want to mention 3-4 things before you do this. Number one, that when I'm young and you are my father, so when you will sacrifice me, then I might try to tremble. I might make some movement. So I want you to tie me so that I cannot move. And number two, I have another wish that I want to be sacrificed while I'm in the state of sajda. So place my head on the ground so that I'm in the state of sajda. And that's how I give my life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, then when you sacrifice me, sharpen your knife. So that if the knife is blunt, then it might take some time to carry the sacrifice. But I want to be very quickly, I want to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the father, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he agreed to all these three conditions. And then he said, finally, one more thing, oh my father, then after this, I want you to take my clothes and give these clothes to my mother and show my clothes to my mother and say to my mother that your son was successful. Your son was successful in sacrificing himself for the name of Allah, for the sake of Allah. That your son became successful. At this, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam had tears in his eyes. And he made dua that, oh Allah, this is my old age and you have asked for me this nafi. You have asked for me from this sacrifice. Oh Allah, have mercy upon me. And oh Allah, have mercy upon this child. And then after that, Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam, he carried what he had been told to do. But now when he's trying to move his knife, but the knife is not moving. And he's trying again, but the knife is not moving. So Sayyidina Ibrahim al-Islam, he became angry. He said to the knife that I'm trying to use you to cut, but you're not moving. Why aren't you moving? Why aren't you cutting? And the knife replied that, oh Ibrahim, Khalilullah, that you are saying to me once that cut, that move. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to me 70 times that beware, don't move, don't cut. Subhanallah, look at the shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah ta'ala saves Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam, and instead Allah ta'ala sacrificed Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he sacrificed an animal. So this is a story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran. And this sacrifice Allah loved so much that in Quran Allah mentions this was a very big test, a very big imtihan and trial. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he accepted this. فَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَزِيمٍ وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ Allah loved this so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this sacrifice a sunnah for the successive generations. Salamun ala Ibrahim. Oh Ibrahim, be salam on you. Salam on you that you were able to do this. So today we also have to make nafi. We also have to make, we have to negate these things. If we cannot sacrifice our life for Allah, at least we can sacrifice these unlawful loves that we have in our heart for the sake of Allah. And try to make that effort of filling our hearts only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only Allah and those loves that are in the name of Allah and for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we have time. This is the month, blessed month of Ramadan, the last blessed ashra of the month of Ramadan. The nights are very special and the nights have a lot of barakah. So that's the doors of Allah's rahmat are open. Today we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tonight we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah wants to give to us. Allah will give it to us. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah grant us tawheed kamil. Allah grant us this kamil tawheed in our heart. That we are able to have such a yakin on your zat that our gaze is only focused on you. Just like Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he did, he broke all the idols. Allah, we also want to break all the idols, whether they're outside or inside of us. Allah, we want our gaze should only be on you. We want to turn our gaze away from all the sabab and turn our gaze towards musabbibul asbab, that being who's controlling all these worldly means. We don't want to do shirk. Allah, just like Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam saved himself from shirk. Allah, we also want to be saved from shirk. We don't want to do shirk e jali. We don't want to do shirk e khafi. Allah, erase every last drop of shirk, every last trace of shirk from our heart. Allah, if we have such desires or such connections or such relationships in our heart, Allah, erase their names, erase their memories. Allah, delete everything. Erase all the lazzat that we ever felt about those things. Subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala is the knower of what's inside of our head, inside of our chest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can wipe away everything. We just need to make dua to Allah Ta'ala. This is called tawheed. And we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawheed in these nights. If we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, this is a ni'mat which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give to us. That Allah, we want your muhabba, we want the kamal in your muhabba. The Prophet ﷺ also used to make this dua. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbaka. That, oh Allah, I ask you to increase me in my love for you and in my love for those people who love you. He also used to make another dua. That Allahumma inni, Allahumma ja'al uhibbuka bi kalbi kulli. That Allah, grant me tawfiq that I can love you with the full extent of my heart, with my full heart. My full heart should be loving you. There should be no other love except those loves that are for you and in your name. So in this gathering, inshallah, we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawheed kamil. We should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his true muhabba, for shiddat and his muhabba. Allah ta'ala is very kareem. Allah ta'ala is very raheem. Allah ta'ala, may Allah ta'ala grant all of us that tawheed. May Allah ta'ala grant all of us that muhabba. May Allah ta'ala remove all the unlawful loves from our heart. And may Allah Ta'ala place and fill our hearts with his full muhabba, with his complete muhabba. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable all of us to live in this muhabbah, to die on this muhabbah, and to be raised up on the day of judgment in this muhabbah. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Subhana rabbil al wahhab, Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallam. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khayrul rahimin. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Allahumma inni as'aluka, Allahumma inna nas'aluka hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuk وحب من يقربنا إليك. اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا كاملا ويقينا صادقا ورزقا واسعا وقلبا خاشعا ولسانا ذاكرا ورزقا حلالا طيبا وتوبة قبل الموت وراحة عند الموت ومغفرة ورحمة بعد الموت والعفو عند الحساب والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار برحمتك يا عزيز يا غفار. رب زدني علما والحقني بالصالحين. يا الله يا رب كريم, we ask you to Allah forgive us for all of our sins. رب كريم, يا الله, this night of Ramadan, Allah, we ask you to grant us this ni'mat of Tawheed Kamil. Allah, just like you gave this ni'mat to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, that he did nafi of all the idols outside, that he did nafi of all the idols inside. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we also ask you to, that Allah grant us this ni'mat of Tawheed Kamil, grant us the ability to break all the idols, whether these idols are outside of us or these are idols that are inside of us. Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us this maqam of Tawheed Kamal. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, purify our hearts of all the unlawful loves, of all the impermissible loves. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabba, fill our hearts with your ma'rifa, fill our hearts with your remembrance and with your zikr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, grant us your talab, Allah, grant us your raghba, Allah, grant us your muhabba. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove all the shirk from our life, whether it's shirk-e jali or shirk-e khafi. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, by the barakah of this name that we study today, Ya Rabbi Kareem, you are Al-Ahad, you are Al-Wahid. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to, Ya Allah, have this Tawheed, to live on this Tawheed, to die on this Tawheed, to be raised up on this Tawheed. Ya Rabbi Kareem, protect our kalama. Allah, we give this kalama to you as an amanat. And Allah, we ask you that you preserve and secure this kalama for us throughout our life. Let's secure this kalama for our offsprings, for our children, for our relatives, for our families. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us to live on this kalama, to die on this kalama, to be raised up on the day of judgment on this kalama. Ya Rabbi Kareem, and by the barakah of this kalama, Allah, enable us to directly enter into Jannatul Firdaus and there to be able to get your didar in Jannah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, this kalama waqi'i is very heavy in your eyes. When a person recites the kalama, all of their kufr, all of their nifaq, all of their shirk is forgiven. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to grant us the ma'arif of this kalama, to grant us the hakikat and reality of this kalama, to grant us muhabba for this kalama. Allah, we also say the same thing. La marghubi illallah. We have no object of desire other than you. We have no object of attraction, inclination, raghbat other than you. La matlubi illallah. We have no object of desire and talab other than you. La mahbubi illallah. We have no object of love and muhabba other than you. La ilaha illallah. We have no object of worship other than you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us true in these words. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us true in these words. Allah, make us such that are only and only, that our raghbat is only for you and you alone, that our talab is for you and you alone, that our muhabbat is only for you and you alone, and our ilah, Allah, you, it's you and you alone, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Allah, do tazkiyah of this nafs. Make this nafs amara. Allah, make this into nafs mutma'inna. Allah, you are the muzakki hakiki. Allah, do tazkiyah of this nafs. Purify this nafs. Allah, this tazkiyah depends upon your rahmah, Ya Rabbi Kareem. Whatever mehnat, whatever koshish we are doing, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, alone we will never be able to purify. Allah, it depends on your fazl, your rahmah, your karam. Allah, we ask you for the rahmat. We ask you for that fazl. Allah, we ask you to purify our nafus. We ask you to purify our nafs. Make this nafs nafs mutma'inna. Allah, remove us. Take us out from the slavery of this nafs. Take us out from the ubudiyat of this nafs. Allah, make us abun nafs instead of abdun nafs. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, break this nafs ammara. Allah, take us out from this, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make this nafs tabi to the deen. Allah, make this nafs tabi to the Quran, Sunnah, and Sharia. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us, make the makruhat tabiya. Allah, grant, make them according to the makruhat shar'iyya. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Allah, save us from all the enemies, from all the idols, whether it's the idol of the dunya, or the shaitan, or makhluk, or nafs. Ya Rabbi Kareem, save us from all those obstacles that are preventing us from reaching to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, we do ruju ilallah. Grant us the tawfiq to do kamil ruju ilallah. Kamil, incline ourselves towards you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people of ibadah. Make us people of zikr. Make us people of istighfar and tawbah. Make us people of Quran. Make us people of durood and salawat. Allah, make us people who can follow in the footsteps of the Nabiyeen, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the Salihin. Increase us in our love for you and the love for those people who are loved by you and who love you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us for this path of muhabba and mahbubiyya. Accept us, Ya Allah, on this path of completing and perfecting our iman and tawheed. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رب.